Welcome to Fit Chicks Chat, the podcast dedicated to fitness, nutrition, wellness, and mindset. For more information on Fit Chicks Academy and our upcoming Fitness and Nutrition Expert certification, as well as our Holistic Nutrition Weight Loss Coaching certifications, please visit fitchicksacademy.com. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. My name is Amanda Quinn, and today Laura Jackson is not joining me because I have a very special guest joining me today, which is Coach Allie. Hello, Allie. How are you today?
I am so good. I'm so glad to finally be here. I feel like this has
I
been
know.
A long time coming.
It definitely has, and I apologize. It's my schedule's just been all over the place, but I've been really looking forward to this chat because I know even the first conversation that we had offline was so just genuine and amazing and so aligned. So I'm really happy to have you here and to share your thoughts with our listeners.
Amazing. Well, I'm so glad to be here as well. I think our first conversation, what's so interesting is I was actually chatting about this the other day to my own team, is our first conversation did feel like so aligned because we had so many things that we had both been through, and also how we built our businesses were very similarly to just really
Yeah.
impact women. So I'm excited
Yeah.
to dig into it.
No, totally. And so you are the, so for anyone who's listening right now, Allie is the founder of her company, which is called Ask Coach Allie. And it is basically a women's empowerment company that basically talks a lot about just empowering women through health, through transformation, through just working through the, not even just like the physical aspects of it. It's really about like the internal side, would you say? Like, it's a lot to do with like the emotional aspects, the mental aspects, the stuff that not everybody focuses on. Everyone is always focusing externally, but you're really focusing internal as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The biggest factor to our health is truly our mental and emotional state. We can always manipulate our physical bodies, but if we don't work on our mindset, on how we feel about ourselves or who we're being around food, the physical shift is never going to stay. It's not going to be sustainable, or it's not going to really be giving us what we want, right? Because we're really looking for connection, confidence, you know, community. We're looking for so much deeper than just what the physical has to offer.
That's beautifully said. And it's so true. It's like, we always think that the physical side, and I don't know if you've ever been through this own experience, and I'd love to hear this, but you know, we always think that if I just reach this physical goal, if I just get to this one place, I'm going to feel X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And then when you get to that place, you don't necessarily feel that way. You don't necessarily feel happier or more excited or more confident or any of those things. It's really just this belief in your brain that makes you think, and I think it comes a lot to do from like media and social media and everything else feeding you this idea, but it's really just about like having this false belief that it is the external thing when really the work, I always say it's like you have to change your internal dialogue and the idea of who you are and who you want to become in order to be able to truly reach that feeling of like, not full confidence, but like the full like feeling of just being confident in your skin, if that makes sense. Do you
I
agree
even
with
call
that?
it like full alignment. I say something similar. I always say to my clients, like, change your narrative, right? Because for all of us, we've had a narrative our whole lives. And the majority of that narrative is learned behaviors. It's things that we were taught about ourselves, whether it's how we feel about our bodies or our relationship with food, or even just how we see the world. They were taught behaviors. So our narrative isn't really about us until we change it, until we decide what we want it to be. So I totally agree with you. I was at a point, you know, a lot of my own story and why I coach is because I struggled with body dysmorphia, with eating disorders growing up. And to your point, always feeling like I had to do more. Like there was another step that I had to take, that even when I lost the weight or I was a certain size or I looked a certain way, that I was never happy. Like it wasn't what I thought it was supposed to feel like. And so I kept thinking that I was the problem, right? That I was doing something wrong to not feel that way when everybody else claimed that that's how you should feel when you get to that point. I would argue I felt more miserable and frustrated than ever.
Well, probably because the idea is you felt, because you had like this total letdown, right? Because you were like, oh my gosh, when I get to X, Y, and Z, I'm going to feel a certain way. And then when you didn't, you probably had this huge letdown. So like feeling even worse probably happened because of that letdown of like not reaching the belief that you believe so strongly in your core, like in your heart of hearts, you probably really thought that that's exactly what it's going to lead you to, is this joy or this happiness or this confidence.
Then I was really hungry.
Right.
Yeah. To be totally honest, right? I was really hungry. Because I think, you know, that narrative or the expectations that we place on the outcome, right? On the results, it comes from generationally what you were taught, from society, from what we see in media. We're constantly being told, do this and you're gonna get this result, and this is how you're gonna feel about it. Right? They almost build it up so much that you're like, yes, that's exactly what I should be doing. How did I never know this before? But it's really just like false promises wrapped up in a nice little bow. Rather than saying, okay, pause, take a step back. Why do you want this? Right? Whether it's the end goal is weight loss or a body transformation or feeling more confident or whatever it might be that you want, why do you want it? Where is why coming from? Right? Because I think that is the bigger place that I get to play with my clients, is they come to me, you know, feeling obsessive around food or constantly checking their bodies. The negative self-talk is like in their heads every day. And they come to me saying, I don't know what to do anymore. Nothing has ever worked for me. Right? Can you just teach me how to feel confident? But they all come with that little thing in their head that says, well, if I learn this, I'll lose weight. If I learn this, this will be the hack that finally gets me to be in a smaller body that society accepts. But what they don't realize is what we do, it's almost like a form of therapy where we have to change your habits and your behaviors around who you are, who you're being, in order for anything to change and have it be actually sustainable. So I love to kind of say that, like, my job doesn't really exist, at least not yet in this world, right? Because I do something very different than what most coaches do. I willingly choose to hang out with women's emotions all day, which is kind of a dangerous place to be sometimes, but that's where like the biggest reward happens.
That's when the transformation really happens, right? Yeah. That's when you're giving people the gift that they've been searching for possibly their whole life, because we know that, you know, like diet culture, the idea of diet, the idea of, you know, being an ideal body, quote unquote, from like what society says, or this smaller body or any of these things, comes from such a young age. So a lot of times, a lot of us have dealt with this. I know even for me, it was probably from about the age of 9 that I started like dieting, quote unquote, kind of like, I still remember eating, I would just bring fruit to school. And because I was able to make my own lunches and stuff like that. And I would only bring fruit to school. And like, then I would start limiting a lot of things and changing things, and had really disordered eating patterns and really disordered behaviors. And then, you know, it got kind of worse, and then it got better, and then it became really obsessive around fad diets. And you know what I mean? But it was like that until I understood that I had to become just like someone who saw their health differently. Yes. And that's what shifted me, right? And that's what changed everything for me and allowed for me just to be kind of like, okay, I can live in my body and it's going to change and it's going to grow and change. You know, when I got pregnant, all these things, like, it's fluid, right? As opposed to it being so rigid.
It evolves with you.
Totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And your reasons behind your why can change too, which is something that I noticed for myself was huge. Was like, when I was younger, it was more like vanity based. Whereas now that I'm like older, it's much more about, you know, I want to be able to not only run with my daughter and do all these cool things, but I also just want to be here as long as absolutely freaking possible and be as healthy as possible so that I can see every moment of her life. Oh, I'm getting emotional when I think about that. but it's so true. It like, it shifts and changes. Now I'm curious to know for you, like, what was growing up and having disordered patterns and everything, what was sort of your your shift? Like, do you remember that shift, that moment that kind of like made you realize, like, hold on, I'm doing this all wrong. I'm emotional
I think it's so
now.
sweet that you're emotional though, because it shows that you care so much, not only about your own health and like where you're going to be in the next 20, 40, 60 years, but where your daughter is going to be, right? Because it
Oh,
is, it's,
totally.
and we can dig into this, but it's a generational choice, right? So many of the things that we've learned about our bodies, about food, about just health in general have been passed down to us. And
Totally.
the hardest part of that is that we take that as fact because that's what we've grown up around, or it's what our family taught us at the dinner table, but it doesn't mean it's factual. And it
Sure.
actually, it has the choice of doing a lot of harm or a lot of good. And it all comes from really what you're choosing to present to your family. It's not always the intention.
Yeah.
Because it can be the best intentions and have a really terrible outcome. But to answer your question, very similarly to you, I started counting calories in sixth grade. And I'm sure I was doing it before then, before I really knew what I was doing. I specifically remember going to a pool party. And my mom actually asked me this the other day when we were on a walk. She said, have you always felt this way? Did you always struggle with your body, or where did it start? And it's
Yeah.
funny because that's what I ask my clients, but I don't know
Yeah.
that I've had someone ask me that. And I said, yeah, as far back as I can remember, I knew I was different. I was at a pool party with Girl Scouts back in like fourth or fifth grade.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at the other girls and noticing that like my tummy was different. That I had like a line in the middle of my tummy where my baby fat or my body composition was different than the other girls, right? Who were very thin, very flat. And I knew in that moment, I didn't know why it was wrong, but I knew it was wrong, theoretically, like to society, or I shouldn't look that way. And so I
Right.
hit it, right? And that kind of, evolved with me, if we want to use that word, evolved with me as I got older, where I started actually knowing how to count calories in middle school. I brought my own lunch as well, where it was very specific foods. When my friends were eating like pizza and French fries at lunch, right? And I already had that limiting belief ingrained in me at that time, saying, I'm different. I can't eat the weight that my friends eat. If I eat this, I'm going to gain weight. They can eat whatever they want. Right, because they're in a smaller body. And that followed me through high school, through college, to the point where I was, getting a degree in nutrition so that I could just learn how to fix myself. And I never recognized that, like, the disordered eating patterns I had, the obsession I had over tracking my food and, weighing out every meal, I hid it behind this facade of being healthy. Of being the
Right.
fitness girl,
Yeah.
and nothing about it was healthy, right? The obsession, the diets, the weight loss is not health, right? And like you said, what was that kind of pivotal point where it shifted? And for me, it was after college. I was in my first corporate career. RIP to the corporate world. Thank God I'm not there. But I was in my first
Same.
corporate job. I felt really misaligned in what I was doing. I was struggling really badly with my body. I had tried every diet, every macro breakdown, every workout program. I had spent thousands of dollars at this point, and I was only like 22 years old,
Right.
to fix myself, to change myself. And I remember telling my mom, if I can't have chocolate, what's the point? What is the point if just having one meal out with friends and trying to enjoy myself is going to absolutely ruin all of my progress? What is the point if I'm trying to be so perfect all the time that I'm not getting to live my life as a 22-year-old and getting to actually do an experience and be around the people that I want to be around because I'm so worried about skipping a workout, right? And I would say that was kind of the pivotal point, but it didn't necessarily change there. That was when the first kind of drop in the hat happened. But it got to a point where I was so consumed with anxiety around food, around my body. I was having panic attacks at work. I was extremely depressed because I just felt like I had no purpose. I had no, when adults say, well, this is all there is. This is what adulthood is. You go to work and you go work out and you come home to your family and you do it all over again. And I realized that food in my body had always just been a control for me. It was something I could control when I didn't have the answers to the other things. And my dad actually said, doing the same shit, different day, and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. You are choosing to drive yourself insane. And it kind of clicked there where I realized all of the different health programs I'd done, all the different diets, all the different macro calculator equations, they had all been the same thing. They just had been framed a little differently. But they were all the same thing. They were all about changing me physically so that I could be more accepted. But they were doing nothing for my internal makeup, for my mental health, for my emotional health. They had nothing to do with who I was. And so that I think is like the major tipping point where I realized like, I want to live a life where I'm healthy, I'm happy, I'm confident. And honestly, I don't give a shit what anybody else thinks about me.
That's amazing. I love that. Thank you for sharing that, because I think people need to hear this because they need to know that it's okay to feel that way, and it's okay to understand that you might be 65 years old and still in the same process of trying the different elimination diets and the detoxes and the pills and the things and then that, because that's what we're told. But it's okay, and that there is a different pathway, and it doesn't have to be. This is the thing that I always like to say, like at Fitchings Academy, where we say it's like, it doesn't have to be as hard as we all make it out to be. Society makes it hard,
Not
media
rocket
makes it hard,
science.
everyone makes it hard because they're trying to make money from it, right? Like they're like, oh, buy this pill, buy this specialty food. Like, I don't know about you, but I remember when Atkins first came out and it was like all like low carb everything, I was in my early 20s and I was living with one of my best friends, and I was like, okay, hey, that's it, I'm not gonna eat carbs anymore. Like, because I mean, really, that's all fat diets do, is they just eliminate one macronutrient, right? It's like depending on
It's
which
nothing
decade
new.
you're in, it's like it's a different macro, right? I
It's
remember
whatever
my
macro
favorite diet.
wasn't just eliminated. It's like, oh, they eliminate carbs. Okay, cool. We're gonna eliminate fat and then we're gonna see what happens.
My favorite diet in my whole history of diets, like, and I shouldn't even say like favorite diet of all diets, but it's like when I think back to all the different fad diets I did, was you probably have never heard of this, but there was one called, it was Stop the Insanity. It was by Susan Powder, and it was about that fat was bad and carbs were good. And so it was like, she's like, eat all the potatoes, eat everything. I was like, this is like heaven. Like, I'm so happy right now. I ate potatoes like 3 times a day. Like, I was like, I'm literally just eating carbohydrates 24/7. And she's like, it's gonna make fat makes you fat. And then the next thing was like, no, carbs are bad. Atkins came out. And then I started buying all of these at health food stores. They were selling fake bread and fake buns and fake candy and
All the
everything. It was like all
package
like
things.
all the packet prepackaged like buns and all. I still remember the buns because they were taste like sponges, and I bought them and I ate them, and they were like $10 for like a box of two, and it was like, and they were so gross, but I was so desperate to eat like just a sandwich that
You
like I would eat them, and it was like, I was thinking, when I think back now, I'm like, the amount of chemicals that I put in my body to eliminate just eating like a piece of bread is wild, like wild beyond belief to my brain, right?
y'all have Walden Farms? Okay, so Walden Farms, at least here in the US, is a zero calorie food. I don't
Producer,
know.
food product
Food
producer.
product, yeah, producer, where they have, salad dressings and they have jellies and peanut butters, and it's all these chemically made foods that are zero calorie. And I did something very similar where that is all I would purchase because I didn't have enough macros or I didn't have enough fats that I was allowed to eat that day. So I would buy these chemically created like jelly substances. And I remember eating spoonfuls of it because it was no calories. I was so hungry and I was craving sugar so much. But what I found was interesting as you were talking about that is how if we really looked at the diet industry, if as women, we really took a step back and said, okay, what are they trying to sell me on? And we looked over the history, we were never going to win because they're always coming out with a different piece of information, a different, you know, magic pill that is the exact opposite of what we were just doing. And so you're never going to be able to keep up or catch up because there's so much misinformation. It's like, where do you even look? What do you believe? If you were just taught that fats were bad and now fats are good, but carbs are bad. Okay. Well, that completely rewires how you were just eating and your body is so confused.
Yeah. Your body's confused. Your brain's confused emotionally. You're like, I was a wreck when they told me I couldn't eat potatoes anymore. Like I was like, no, but Susan Powder told me I can eat that. And I like that. So I'm going to do that. And then I was like, dang, I can't eat that anymore. Now I got to eat all this meat. And I was vegan for a lot of my life. So I was like eating the Atkins. It was a challenge. I mean, I just had like a lot of chicken broth cause I couldn't eat like proper meat and stuff. Like it was weird. Yeah. Like it just wasn't working for me, but I just,
it,
yeah.
It even makes me question, you know, I always go back to the why, right? I love to teach my clients how to be curious because if you go back to the why or like, where did this come from? Or what is this information, right? We start to challenge the ideas. Why did we believe these specific people who are sharing these diets? Why do we listen to the advertising, the marketing? Is it because we're so desperate to believe in something or we're so fearful that nothing will ever work for us? Where's the fear? Where's the maybe self-sabotage come into play that we continually fall into these traps time and time again, expecting a different result when in reality, it's never actually worked.
Right. No, it's such a good question because I think it's, I truly believe it comes from a fear place of like, I'll never get to where I want to be. So it's like this desperate idea, at least for me, it was like always like this feeling of like, okay, well that was sort of working, but not great. So let me try this next one. Like, this has got to be it. It's like always looking externally for the answer instead of looking internally, like what we talked about in the beginning. It's like, once we can look internally and be like, okay, what kind of beliefs do I have? What kind of food beliefs do I have? What kind of habits do I have? Where do they come from? And when we get really curious and sit with that, like, it's like, for example, like food habits being like, when you go to a party, you expect to eat cake, right? And that's like just something, an expectation. I remember it was a lesson I learned at, so Laura, my business partner and I, we went to the Biggest Loser Ranch in Utah. This was not for weight loss at the time. It was really just because we were starting our company, we were starting retreats, and we were like, hey, I wonder what they do. Like, what's the most extreme things that they're doing for a week? Out of curiosity, we also wanted to film it as like a vlog kind of thing for our company and just be like, this is what they do. And so it's like, literally you work out 8 hours a day, you eat 1200 calories a day. I was so hungry. They had an open salad bar at the end of the night that you were allowed to eat whatever you wanted. When I tell you, we had like 6 plates of salad, like that were like the size of our heads. And we were just like pouring it on our plates because we're like, we're so hungry. And like, it just, I couldn't handle how hungry I was. And we couldn't even think straight. We were responding to emails at night and be like, with one letter, it's like, yes was just a Y and no was an N. Like I told my team in advance, I was like, don't expect full words or sentences. So my brain's not operating. But it's like, when we, you know, there's all of these beliefs that like, you have to go do all of these different extremes to be able to get to where you want to be. Right. And I
it's,
remember
it's
when we
not
were there,
sustainable.
Totally. But when we were there, the lesson that I learned was, you know, about the habit thing, because at the end you have a graduation, right? At the end of your week or whatever. Some people were there for months. We were there for just 5 days after we left there. We went to Vegas for 3 days. We're like, we need to reboot. we were young at the time, but but I still remember at the celebration dinner, it was a Cobb salad. and a strawberry at the end. And I was like, why, we're not getting cake? It's like a celebration thing. It's like a congratulations. And I was so confused by it. But then I remember sitting with it and being like, oh, it's actually really cool. Because if you think about it, we always have these expectations and beliefs. And it's not that it's a bad thing to celebrate with cake. It's not a negative thing, but it's the belief that this comes with this, or like food rewards come with like good behaviors or things like that, right? And it's, or if I didn't
I
eat on
completely
track, we have to
get
do
this.
this.
Right. Yeah, it's the
Exactly.
a big thing we dig into into my programming is that idea of like the punishment and the reward. Oh, I was good all week, so I get this, right? I deserve a little extra. And it's so funny that you actually went to the ranch because we grew up watching that. That was like our family TV show. Especially growing
Totally.
up in like a fitness household, we love that show. But now as an adult, I look back on it and I go, you notice how emotionally and mentally distraught these people are, right? Not only is it not sustainable, no one can work out for 8 hours a day and then only eat 1200 calories, which is so dangerous, first off.
Oh yeah.
If anyone listening to this hears that, so dangerous. You should not be eating that little.
Totally.
There's a
No.
reason why your mental clarity was not there. You physically had no energy, and you went to Vegas and decided to do the exact opposite right afterwards, right? There's
Correct.
a reason for all this.
Of course. No, of course. And we were aware of that in the time, but like there's a lot of people that like that don't even realize they feel bad because they'll leave there and be like, oh, I want to binge, or I want to do these things, right? Because they are like, they're like, oh, I'm a failure. But it really, it's like, no, it's when you restrict yourself so much and you limit so much, you have, it's like you're not ready to like be. It's like, I don't know how to, I'm not explaining this well, but it's almost like
I look at
you
it
try
as
to
like
restrict it too much.
your body tries to protect you,
Yeah.
right? Your body is literally created to keep you alive. That is its only job. That's what it cares about. And so when we restrict and we punish and we go through decades of treating it like shit, right? Your body gets smarter and smarter every time. And so you wanting to binge or you wanting to fall off the wagon or whatever you want to call it is actually your body's only mechanism to try to bring you back to center, to bring you back to balance. Because all it's recognizing is that you have restricted it, that you have not allowed it to be around food or have food or feel balanced, right? It hasn't listened to its cues or any of the things that it needs. And so it gets you to a point where it says, nope, not anymore. I'm going to bring you right back. Because we need to, right? And we see that as failure or, oh, I fell off the wagon. I have to start over, or I wasn't good this weekend. I was so bad, right? We put it as like an emotional trait, like a personality trait almost, when in reality, it's your body trying to like scream at you in neon letters. They're like, hey, something's wrong here. This is not how it works. This is not what I need. And I think that's honestly the biggest takeaway from The Biggest Loser is you look at how many of the contestants did not stay the same size that they were at the end of the program.
No.
Almost every single person gained all the weight back or more because they, again, didn't change their habits. They didn't change who they were being around food and their bodies. All they did was the action.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. It's like the internal thing is so important. Now, I'm so sad because we are running out of time. I really love our conversation. And Allie, I mean, I would love to invite you back actually, just while I have you here right now, and invite you back to come
Sign
on,
me
because
up.
I'd love to talk more about the other side of it, like the how we actually break down the chains of diet culture and everything else, and then how we can overcome societal expectations. So for everybody listening, we're gonna have another interview with Allie as long as she accepts, where we can talk about all of these things and really dive into that side of it too. Oh, this is such a good conversation. I don't want it to end. But
You can be
Allie,
with me whenever you want. Sign me
all
up.
right. All right, perfect. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that for sure. I'm going to send you a message and we'll get you on again. But for anyone who is listening, can you just tell them a little bit more? You've got your Alpha Alignment Group coaching program that's starting in April. Can you just tell them a little bit more about that? And of course, for everyone listening, it'll be in the show notes as well. So you can connect, you can learn more in there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So Alpha Alignment is my 10-week transformative group coaching program. It really leads you to body and food freedom. We focus on mindset, intuitive nutrition, and then overall body confidence, because I truly believe that a wellness program has to be mind, body, soul in order for you to get long-lasting, sustainable results. Otherwise, I do work with women in a one-on-one format if private coaching feels more aligned for you. And you can find me on all social media at Ask Coach Allie. My website is the same, just askcoachallie.com.
Amazing. Allie, thank you so much. We're going to have you back on. We're going to chat more with Allie. So, anyone listening, don't worry, we will get more into it. Such a great episode. Thank you so much for being so open and sharing your story, your message. And thank you for all the work that you're doing in the world. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And for everyone listening, make sure that you check out the show notes for more details and how to connect with Allie. And we will see you again next week for Fit Chicks Chat.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.